Forever Media and Russ Beckett. And when I find somebody from the local area that has gone on to do something just super cool, I want to talk to them and find out about their journey to get to that. And I found something super cool on social media just a couple weeks ago, a graduate from my very own high school. We're talking to Brad Hudak. And Brad, why don't you tell them what super cool thing we're talking about?
Yeah, so this year I was able to be selected out of my conference to go and officiate the 2021 Rose Bowl game, which was also known as the Collegiate Football Playoff Semifinal at the Rose Bowl game in Arlington, Texas, which was really cool just for the fact that you get selected to the CFP semifinal, but also the fact that it was only the second time in history that the Rose Bowl game was ever played outside of Pasadena. And I think everyone understands the reason why this year.
Yeah.
It was taken out due to the COVID constraints out in California, and not sure how many people actually know the history that the last time it was played was at Duke University after Pearl Harbor was bombed.
Those are the two reasons it switched locations.
Yes.
Wow. Well, let's start back at the beginning. We'll take you to the hallowed halls of Cambria Heights High School. What were you doing after that, after you left high school?
Well, I was still in high school. That kind of is where I got started and interested in officiating. It's more when I was younger, still playing, you know, baseball and football. I studied the rules of the game. I realized that I would become a better player if I understood the rules better because, hey, if you know the rules, you know how to bend the rules a little bit towards your favor. You know, that's the reason that, you know, most of us pick up a rule book. We want to see what we can do. And if you really think about it, that's what a lot of other participants and coaches do. They look at that rule book inside and out, and they try to find the best way to not necessarily exploit a rule, but sometimes to find a gap in a rule book to make it in their favor.
A small bend of the rule.
Yeah, a small bend. But, you know, I also got interested in umpiring when Little League in Patton, when I was around 16 years old, realized, hey, I can do this. I understood it, and I can make a few bucks doing it. You know, so one of the guys that I played baseball with and we graduated with, Bob Naylor, we decided to start umpiring Little League games together. It was fun. You know, I had a blast doing it. It's just something that kind of grew on me. You know, and during that time frame, I picked up a book around that time frame written by Jerry Markbright. It's called Born the Referee, My Life on the Gridiron. I read that book probably a couple years before that. I was around 13, 14 years old. And it started me down this path of officiating. What is really funny about that path is I'm now in an organization, what we call the Collegiate Officiating Consortium, and Jerry Markbright is one of the people that is a leader there. He helps, you know, train and look after the officials and give us a lot of insight and educate us, and not just on being a better official, but being a better person individually and also how to value our families. He has definitely taught us a lot. So it's kind of a full circle type of thing where a book I picked up when I was 13 or 14, written by this gentleman, now I'm working in an organization that he's helping out on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, to me, that's a kind of a great moment. But it also goes that full circle there. Going back to high school, I really started getting into it. Once I graduated, I read into the PIAA would, you know, allow you to take the test if you either graduate high school or were 18 years old. You know, I was 17, but I graduated. And since I was already umpiring Little League and a couple of Pony League games on the side, I decided, hey, I'm going to go take my test to be a baseball umpire. And at that time, PIAA would let you take two tests for the price of one. So I said, well, I played football also. I might as well do football. You know, I was lucky to have people at Cambria Heights in that area that would help me out. You know, I had a person, Tom Link, who, you know, recently passed away this past year. Tom was able to help me and guide me along there. I was able to reach out to him, learn more about officiating, and he definitely took me under his wing. Probably remember at Cambria Heights we had Jack Tinnick was also officiating football at the time. John Benn was officiating football at the time. So we had some officials there, but Tom was really the guy that really, you know, guided me, took me under his wing in that aspect. But it was great. You know, it was one of those things where you left your high school. I went and did that. I went down to UPJ to get my degree in electrical engineering and start really officiating more games and really enjoying it. And, of course, like every other college student, it was great extra cash on the side.
Absolutely.
You know? So I kept doing that up there, learning the game, getting better, having people I was able to come across that have definitely helped out my career. You know, Tommy Chernitsky, I had the privilege of working a baseball game with him while I was living up there, working a high school playoff game. And, you know, Tommy being from Patton also is also another person to talk to and help guide along and learn from. once I graduated from UPJ, I ended up moving to the Pittsburgh area. And once again, I go back to Tom Link. I moved out here, and I'm like, okay, what do I do? Who do I know? And I talked to Tom Link, and Tom's like, hey, I officiate out there. I know a lot of people, and he got me into a chapter out here through his, you know, his vast network of people and friends.
Yeah.
And it's something, you know, it's the small world connections and people to help you out like that that you never forget and you always think about. But even when I moved out here, I still didn't really know a lot about officiating. I knew I liked it, but I didn't really know a lot about it. And the good thing was between Tom and his friends out here in Pittsburgh and looking after me and guiding me, you know, I've realized, hey, this is something I'm really enjoying. And there are opportunities now to move up to a higher level of football in, you know, at that time in the high school area, which was the quad A's of the Whippeal, and then maybe even doing some small college. And I think that's really when I looked at it and said, I really want to pursue this. This is something that's pretty cool. And it's something I'm looking at and saying, you know, I think I'm pretty decent at this.
Now, what's the process whenever you start getting chosen for the quote-unquote bigger games? How did that begin?
Well, you know, so this is pretty consistent throughout. We have our groups we are selected into. So, you know, we'll start up working, you know, small college. You join a chapter of a local group, and you'll eventually do things like work the play clock. You'll observe games. And eventually you'll start working some of the JV college games and you'll get put on a crew. And your coordinator then will go ahead and they'll be assigning the games to the crew. But one thing is you won't work anything that you have a potential conflict with. So some of the conflicts that are out there, you might have graduated from that school. You might have your children might be attending that school or an immediate family member is attending that school. Or you have some personal relationship within that school. It might be a coach, player, another administrator. You'll avoid those conflicts of interest. So you might get taken off if your crew's assigned that game. You're taken off that game and put on a different game. But the crews get assigned out like that. And that is really consistent at all levels of college. So in our organization right now, I'm in with the Big Ten. You know, Bill Carollo is our supervisor of officials. He creates the crews every year, and that crew gets assigned to the games. The assignments are coming out weeks in advance, so you don't necessarily know that it's going to be the top game.
Right.
You know, you're at that level. Your crew's at that level. You're expected to perform at that level. Everyone's basically going to be able to work that game. And we do that throughout the season. You know, we're going to work those games and get assigned those games void of the conflicts of interest. Like I said before, that's where we would get taken off and moved on to a different assignment. Somebody else would slide in our place, another other crew. You know, but the postseason bowl games aren't really chosen as a crew thing. It's all individual. It's based upon your merit or your performance during the year. So they take into account a lot of things that go into that choice, which could be, you know, how much do we participate in the quote-unquote off-season? I say quote-unquote off-season because there never really ends anymore. Our test scores, you know, we have our testing that's done within the organization prior to our clinic. And then we also have our game evaluations. We get evaluated on a game-by-game basis. You know, somebody's in there watching our plays, or they're looking through every play of the game and evaluating you. So you'll be looked at as to correct calls, mechanics, judgment, and things of that nature. So all that gets, you know, wrapped up together when they go out and they're looking at, okay, what person is deserving of this bowl game or this postseason assignment. And that's what they take into account, and that's how they go about and doing those assignments for the postseason.
You'll hear a lot of stuff about, like, a bad call or referee. You're saying there's a system in place to where if that would happen, if there's a bad call, there's somebody there judging and saying, maybe we don't get you on the next game.
Well, I wouldn't say next game, but, you know, things are going to be looked at and evaluated. You know, and I laugh about this. You know, officiating is about the only job I know that everyone expects you to be perfect, and they want you to get better.
There you go.
But everything is looked at. You know, things are reviewed. You know, we learn from it. We all keep striving for the perfect game. We're not perfect. Nobody is. And we're going to keep working at it day in, day out. That's why we're at this level. That's why anyone here gets into officiating, gets into it. They know they're going to struggle. They know they're going to stub their toe. But it's how do you learn from it? How do you react? How do you move on from that? And that's what makes you better, not just as an official, but as an individual. We all are in our day jobs, and we hear about that. We hear about how a company messed up or an individual at a company messed up. nobody's out there finger pointing. They're all out there saying, okay, what do we do? How do we learn from this? How do we take something and put it in place now that we confirm that we will never make that mistake? And that's all, you know, that's everything. That's not just officiating, but that's everyday life.
Now, you said day job, and you said that you went to UPJ for electrical engineering. So what is your day job?
Actually, my day job is I am a senior manager of project management for PricewaterhouseCoopers, working in IT. So, yeah, the majority of officials, even in the NFL, majority of us have full-time day jobs. You know, we are doing our day job 40-plus hours a week, and then we're still officiating and putting a lot of time into that, too. You know, there's things that we go into that I think is something that people don't understand. They don't understand that, hey, we're also trying to do this and work our full-time job and manage our family and manage our home life at the same time.
What is your travel schedule like?
Typical week, you know, honestly, even this year wasn't too much different for me. Typical game week, I'll take you through. We spend a lot of hours, you know, scouting our teams that we have that upcoming week. You know, basically the same thing a coach does or his team does. They spend hours breaking down the film of the team they're going to be facing, scouting them. And we do the same thing. You know, we're going to scout that teams, and we're going to look and see what we can learn from that going into it. You know, we have a lot of things that we have to do administratively, but we also have a weekly quiz that comes out that keeps our rulers' knowledge sharp. We have that usually from both our conference office and the national group, which is called the CFO. And so that comes out weekly. We have a weekly training film that the CFO puts out. We have a weekly training film that our conference puts out. And we have a weekly training film that our position coach puts out. So I'm an umpire on our crew. And we have a position coach that puts out one film a week that is dedicated just to the umpires and things we look at. We also have our weekly pregame meeting with our crew. You know, this year is a little different. We did a lot of it, you know, via Zoom. But normally we would be meeting at the city we're going to, and we'd have that meeting on Friday nights. You know, we normally travel to the city the day before the game. So if we have a Saturday game, we're traveling there on Fridays. Me personally, I'm one of these guys, I like getting in there early Friday. I can work, I can get settled in, and get prepped for everything. And then, you know, during the week, we also have what we have to do to keep ourselves physically fit. So we're all working out. We're trying to stay in shape, eat right, and that way we're the best we can be come Saturday. You know, even on game day, we get up and we have to be at the stadium 3 hours ahead of the game. You know, once we get to the game, we have a lot of pregame activities. We have meetings with coaches. There's meetings with trainers, game operations. Certain people have to go meet with the production truck. You know, it is a production. You know, it's not just a game. It is a production. Everyone's watching on TV. And we go work the game. And after the game, we have our fouls, you know, recorded down as a crew. We have to get those entered into our reporting system. And then our film comes out maybe a few hours after the game on our devices we have. And we'll start breaking down our own game film, evaluating ourselves, learning how we can get better each week. You know, we have, like I said before, we have an evaluator and usually a game evaluator in the command center. They're watching the game. They're tagging plays and passing things on to our position coaches and our supervisor to look at. They get feedback to us, too. But we're doing it ourselves. We're going to go through there and do self-evaluation. And just like any regular job, you're always doing some self-evaluation to figure out how do you get better at your day job. And normally we're our own harshest critics. So if you look at all that, it's a lot of hours going into a typical week for us.
Plus your day job, plus family life.
Yes.
So how many levels of football have you done professionally?
Everyone starts out, you know, usually down. I started out doing the midget games, you know, back in Cambria County when I was growing up. And then you start doing the junior high, JV, high school games, and then eventually get into the varsity. And then you'll start getting into small college, maybe some JV college. And then you start working your way up there. You might be working spring games of a Division I school to get noticed and attending clinics and things of that nature. And then you're going to move up through from the D2, D3s up to a 1AA, which is now the FCS. And in my case, I'd moved up into the Missouri Valley Conference and I was working there. Ended up moving up into the Mid-American Conference, which is Division 1A, which is the, you know, football subdivision right now, and then eventually into the Big Ten. You know, I also had the pleasure of working in the XFL this past year as it was unfortunately shortened by COVID also. but I had that that great experience working in that league.
It's fascinating to hear just people's journey to where they are in life when they do something that most people have never even thought of. And you said from back in the day, I want to go do this, and here you are doing it. I commend you greatly for that, man.
Yeah, appreciate it. And, you know, I want to use this as also an opportunity for people that hear it. You know, get into officiating. Our numbers are extremely short right now across the state. If you've noticed this past year, especially with COVID, how many games had to be canceled or moved to off days. I know Cambry Heights in the first week had to move their first home game from a Friday to a Saturday because they didn't have officials. You know, we need officials. It is a great thing. It's not easy. I'm not going to put that out there, but it is a great fraternity. You get to meet people. You get to make friends all over the country, all over the world. You get to participate in a game that is fun. You learn, you grow, not just as an official, but like I said, as an individual. You can relate things back to your work life, your, you know, home life, family life, whatever have you. But we need more officials. And I tell anybody and everybody, reach out. You know, the great thing about officials, we will help each other. It was taught to me, and I do it now. I attend clinics. I help out anybody I can. They reach out. I'll review game film. I respond back to emails. I meet up with people for a drink or something just to talk about officiating to get them into this. And we need more officials. If there's no officials, there's not going to be any games. Looking into officiating, the PIAA has some different sites. I think it's just PIAA.org. You go out there. There should be a link to become an official. But the great thing is everybody understands the numbers are down and we need more officials. You know, if you're going to go to a local high school and go up to the AD or a coach and say, hey, how can I become an official? They'll be able to get you in the right direction. Or ask the officials that are coming off the court or off the field.